so yeah, I'm excited to be back. It's been a while. You guys looking good. I hear this is a special Sunday. I hear that it's the fifth Sunday, which means the coolest people in the church are in here with us.
That's right.
Is that right? Are you any kids in the room? Yeah, let me see your hand. Let me see your hand if you are in here. I love it. I love it. You're like, I'm a kid. Let's go for it. Maybe a little unself-aware, but that's okay. Okay, so let me see again. I got some kids over here. Where you at? Where you at? Let me know. Let me know. I got some right there. I got some. Any kids in this section? I like how we're volunteering people now. Husbands are like, yeah. And wives are like, yeah. No. Okay, over here. Who do we got? We got over here in this section. Okay, so you're my people. When they're kind of like frowning at me, I'm just going to look at you. Give me a big smile. And I'll just feel like, yes. Okay, good. Okay. Are you ready with smiles over here? Can you show me your smile? That's a good smile. I like that. I like that. So, anyways, I'm super pumped to be here. I've known Jake since middle school, so as I offered before, if you want any good stories, got those. Actually, he was like still a saint when he was in middle school, so I don't have anything really that great, besides he had bad hair days sometimes. But yeah, so, but I'm excited to be here with you guys. So we are digging into the Word, so grab your Bible if you don't have one. No worries, we have them in the pews. So grab those. We are going to John. John is one of my favorites. You guys have been doing John for a while, because I was here on January 1st, and we were in John. And Jake said, you're still in John. So I'm like, whew, okay. Now, I'm going to have to throw Jake under the bus a little bit. So last time when I came, he's like, okay, you're doing John 11. And I'm like, oh, I love John 11. Story of Lazarus, risen from the dead. Like, oh, so powerful. He's like, well, you're just going to do the part that builds up to it. I get to talk about the build-up, but not the cool part. And he's like, yeah, don't do it. I'm like, okay. So this time he's like, ooh, you're in John 20. And I'm like, oh, resurrection of Jesus, even better. And he's like, guess what? I am going to bop him. Not really. Not really. So hang with me because I just get to do the build up to the really cool. And then he told me, I don't know if you know this, so maybe I'm telling something I'm not supposed to. He's going to pause you guys. He's going to do like cliffhanger. Right? I'm going to do this and then you guys are going to pause and it's going to be January when you come back to this. I'm going to see if I can come back. Speak to us no matter where we're at. So we're going to ask the Word of God just speak to us today. It's been speaking to me as I've been studying and getting ready, and I'm hoping that it's going to speak to you guys this morning. So we are in John chapter 20, and like I said, we're kind of doing a little build up here. So we're going to read through it, and then we're going to come back, and we're just going to kind of walk through and see what God has to say for us. Sound good?
Yep.
All right, so John 20, we're looking at 1 through 10, okay? So again, the first part up there. So early on the first day of the week, which is today, while it was still dark, not the same, but you know, still the same day, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Dun, dun, dun. Now, hey, we do all know what happens, right? I'm not ruining the movie for anyone. Jesus is going to rise from the dead, right? Anybody a Star Wars fan? Any Star Wars fan? I got like one, never mind, I'll get to that illustration, never mind. Okay. Somebody ruined the new Star Wars movie for me and told me Han Solo was going to die like ahead of time. Not awesome. But you guys know, not a spoiler, she's going to get on up. So, all right, let's keep going. So here he goes. So Mary Magdalene ran and came to Simon Peter and another disciple whom Jesus loved, John's self-given nickname, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb, and the two were running together. And the other disciple, John, ran ahead faster than Peter, bragger, and came to the tomb first, bragger, and stooping in and looking in, he saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he didn't go in, chicken. Simon Peter therefore also came, I am adding my own part, so I hope you're following along, so you know what's mine. So Simon Peter also came, slower, following him and entered the tomb. He beheld the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in place by itself. So the other disciple, John, who had first come, brighter, to the tomb, entered then also, and he saw and believed. For as yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. Dun, dun, dun. But I don't get to go any further. All right, so there we are. That's where we are, 1 through 10. So we're just going to sit right there so you can kind of plan it. We're going to see what God has to say to us there. So kind of our first person that we see, I like to look at the people in this story. Obviously, everyone, who's the main character of every story in the scripture? Good job. I like it. You got that? Kids, who is it over here? Who's the main character? Is it Jesus? Jesus, you got it. Okay, just make sure. Okay, so Jesus is the main character. We get some people that he invites to go with them, the same way he invites us to be with him and to do his work. So our first character here in chapter 20, verse 1, who's our first character? Mary Magdalene. Who wishes there were less Marys in the Bible? If we're just being honest, it's a little confusing. Wish there was less Johns. Like, I don't know, they couldn't get very creative with their naming. I'm a substitute teacher on the side beside my ministry, and let me tell you, people are a ton more creative today. When I'm going down the list, I'm like, I just apologize at the beginning, like, I'm going to botch your name, and I don't mean to, so please offer grace. But we all got Mary Magdalene. Now, you guys hopefully talked about Mary previously when you were in John chapter 19, because she was at the crucifixion. Right, we have listed the number of people there. She was one of the people that got named at the crucifixion. So that's all we know about her from John, from the Gospel of John. We got to kind of scooch on over to one of the other Gospels to get some information about her. So if we scooch on over to Matthew, if you're a note taker, it's Matthew 27, 55 through 56 is where she also appears. And basically it recounts the same thing as in John 19. It talks about her being at the crucifixion. Okay, so we get kind of a little bit more information. It says she was there. It says she was with the other women who had followed Jesus from Galilee and had followed him around and done ministry with him in the Galilee. Now, Luke, one of the other, how many Gospels are there? Just checking. Okay, so in Luke 8, verses 2 and 3 is the other place that we see Mary. And so I'm going to read that one to you real fast so you can kind of get a little bit, maybe more information about Mary Magdalene. So chapter 8, verse 2, it says, also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary, there's Our Lady, who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. Ooh. Catch up? Mary had a little bit of a past. Anybody like, me too? Hopefully not seven. Hopefully maybe just one, I don't know. But Mary, and it goes on, mentions Joanna and Susanna and some others, and it says that they were contributing their support out of their own private means. So here's what else we find out about Mary Magdalene is she was supporting Jesus with her offering. That's part of what she did. She went around with him and ministered with him along with some of the other ladies. And then we find out a little bit about her past, right? And then we jump forward, and then we find out she was at the crucifixion. So obviously, I mean, she was following Jesus to the end. And then we find her here as one of the ladies going to the tomb to serve Jesus, to finish anointing him for burial. And we know the spoiler is she gets an even more bonus, but Jake's going to talk about that in January. But we get this first part of she's there. She's involved. She's part of it, right? Now, the other thing we know about Mary, we don't know a whole lot again, is we know from her name that that's most likely where she's from, right? Because Jesus of Nazareth, because Jesus was from? Good job. You participate. It's much more fun. Okay, so Mary was from Magdala, which is actually the Roman translation of it. So if you want to get really like smarty, like you like went to seminary or something ridiculous, you could say Magdala, which who cares? Main idea, we know where she's from. Okay, Missouri or Missouri? See, it doesn't really matter, or does it? I don't know, some people think it does. So we know she's from Magdala. Okay, so here's the thing that I want you to see and I want us to remember. It's a real place, right? picture that I think we're going to throw up here. I actually got to take some of my students to Israel 2 summers ago. And so this is us, and we're on a boat. We're being all Jesus-like. We're on a boat, right? And we're in the Sea of Galilee, being even more Jesus-like. And we're actually by the town of Magdala. It's one of my students. We were reading through the passages, right? And here's why this is important. Not just because I'm like, oh, I got to go to Israel, which you should go to Israel if you have a chance. Not right now, but eventually. Okay. But here's the cool thing I want you to know. Real people are in this book, and they're from real places, and they serve a real God. And if you were here last time, I put up a picture of Bethany, because we were talking about Bethany, and I went, hey, same thing. But I cannot reiterate that enough, because I think sometimes we've watched so many movies, and we've taken in so many things, and this just kind of seems like another movie sometimes. Too good to be true, not real. And so I just want us to be affirmed that this is real. And it's proven, and archaeology proves that the scripture that we study, that we're basing our lives on, is built on fact. Now, we still gotta have faith, but our faith is built on fact. Real place, real people, real God that we serve today, right? The same way as you're sitting out there, real people serving a real God in a real place, right? So how many people are actually from Independence? How many actual, like, Independence? Okay, how many Kansas City? How many Kansas City? How many Blue Springs? Oh, I got some! I'm a Blue Springs person. That's where I'm from. Okay. We got, like, what else we got? Somebody else tell me what else we got. Lee Summit. Where? See, Iowa? Where? Okay, be Jesus-like. You can't be like, theirs doesn't count. Okay. So here's the thing. We're all from different places, but here's the thing. Aren't we all on Team Jesus? And that's what matters. And God has called you to serve where you are. So if you're Mary of Independence, let's go. If you're Joe Bob of Lee Summit, let's go. If you're Amy of Blue Springs, let's go. Right? God has a call on our lives. God has something for us to do. Let's join him in what he's doing. Right? Now, let's scooch back to that deal. How many demons did Mary have? Whew. Now, that tells us that her past was a little rough, right? But I don't want to sit on her. I want us to reflect on what's that tell us about God? The fact that the person who he calls to come help support him in his ministry, the person who he has at his crucifixion, the person who he has as one of the first people to his empty tomb, is a lady who, in her past, had 7 demons. What's that tell us about God? He is a God of redemption. He is a God that nobody's past is too bad for. He is a God that nobody's struggles can't be overcome. He is a God, as it says in Isaiah 61, that has come to bring the good news and has come to set captives free. Has come to bring good news to the poor, to the afflicted, to anyone. To come to bring light into the darkness and free people from whatever it is that's holding them captive. Is there anybody in the room that could say, I know that God, I've been set free. I know that God, my past does not define me any longer, but who Jesus is in me is what defines me. Who can give an amen to that? Amen, right? Every single one of us. And maybe your past isn't going to be as good for a movie as somebody next to you, but we all are dead in our sins, right? I mean, let's be honest. How many of us already this morning, we have sinned? Especially in the car ride if you had children, right? Or let's just be honest, if you had a spouse in the car with you, probably the only people who didn't sin were those of us driving alone, but then somebody cut us off, and then, whoop, there we went. We joined you in the sin, right? Or if you had to share a bathroom with anyone, anybody, that was your first sin. They took too long, you were really frustrated, you're like, and then like, yeah, Jesus, it's Sunday, come on. A little extra Holy Spirit today, right? But we all do, but we serve a God who brings redemption. emotion. So if you hear nothing else today, hear me say, your junk, it's not too much for Jesus. Mary Magdalene is proof of that fact. So don't you believe the enemy. He healed her of 7 demons. He can take care of you too. But you have to choose to let him. You have to invite him in, and you have to decide to follow him, and you have to decide to be all in like she was. And sometimes you got to make some sacrifices like she did. She put her money where her mouth was, right? She put her time where her mouth was. She followed him. She served him. She gave what she had. That's all he's asking. Give what you have. And that might look different than somebody else's, but if it's what you have, it's what God is needing and asking for you to do, right? And so we see a huge God in this story, a God of redemption, a God that wants to bring freedom and then empower us to be part of the story he's telling to bring redemption to others. Now, as we jump back into the text, it says she came when she got around to it, to the tomb. She came once she had done everything else she wanted to do. What's it say? Early in the morning. She got on up early in the morning. Anybody morning haters? Yep, amen, me too. Ooh, struggle bus, okay. Anybody like, no, I'm a morning person. You just caused the rest of us to sin. Okay, so, but yeah, no. Hey, glad you got blessed with that. Ride that train, you go. All right, so very early in the morning, we see she is so intentional. She gets up, she gets her rear to where she needs to be. She's going after it. She wants to serve Jesus, okay? Now she gets there and it says she saw that the stone was already taken away from the tomb. She saw. She's like, ooh, okay? But there's this isn't a great moment of faith for her, actually. It says, so she ran. She came to Simon, the other disciple, which we know is Jesus, who Jesus loved. Yes, thank you, John. And said, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have laid him, right? She responds in panic. She reacts. She's like, oh no, what's happening? What's going on? And she runs. Now, we got any runners in the room? We got any runners? Okay, we got any not runners in the room? Not runners in the room. Yes, we love you, runners. Not really. the rest of us, not runners. There you go. So, Mary Magdalene, she's a runner, okay? So she's running, which I do appreciate, right? She has some urgency in her. She's running to Peter, she's running to John. I appreciate the community, like, let's go get the fam. Let's see what's going on. But let's pause for a second in this. She says, they've taken Jesus. Because here's the thing, she only saw in part, right? She saw the stone was moved, and her immediate reaction was, worst case scenario. Her response wasn't, he's risen, hallelujah, Palm Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, yay, right? Her response was, oh no, they've stolen his body. And she doesn't keep pushing forward, she just reacts. So I'm gonna mingle a little bit here. I want to mingle a little bit, but how many of us are reactors? Recovery reactor, that's me. Right? Like, and what I mean by that is when something happens, you think the worst right away. If you're a mom and didn't raise your hand, I don't believe you. The husbands are like, mm-hmm, yes. Right? Or you always assume the worst. Or you're waiting to be offended. Right? Like, before they even finish the sentence, you've already decided, oh, I'm totally offended by what you said. Right? And we react. Right? Kids, I'm going to talk to you for a second, okay? How many of you, when your sibling does something, you react really fast? I love the honesty right there. I love it. Right? So, but parents, is that what we model? Of when the kid does something, the kid spills their drink, and we're like, what? But if you spill your drink, oops. So here's what I want us to work on. I want us to work on taking a Jesus pause and then responding. Now some of us, our Jesus pause needs to be a little longer than others. You know. But I want us to work on take a Jesus pause, and then respond, right? Instead of reacting right away. Who thinks we would be more godly if we did that? Yeah. Who thinks maybe Mary would have had a little bit different experience if she would have paused for a second, maybe took a further look into the situation even, right? And so pausing, inviting the Lord into the moment, and then moving forward and seeing what we see, right? So let's be people that take a Jesus pause, and then let's move forward, right? So let's jump back in. So she gets to Peter, she gets to John, right? And it says then they took off running. We got more runners. So they're running, it says in verse 4, together. And then we got John, the bragger, who's like, and then I ran faster than Peter. John is, most theologians think he was the youngest. So, I mean, he's like, beat the older brother, right? So you gotta give a little grace to that. That's just, you know, that's just life. So they run also to the tomb, and then it says that then what happens? They look in, they see a little bit more than Mary, right? Now, when John first got there, he didn't go in, he waits for Peter, and then he goes in. But I want us to pause for just a second on this whole thing of they're together, but then they're not, right? And I think there's some humanness again in John's, like, and then I ran faster. But doesn't that sometimes happen to us in the church? Like, we're doing it together, we're going after it, right? And then somehow there gets this, like, competitive button pushed, and then we start being like, but I'm just a little bit ahead. And then, or we have people behind being like, you're leaving me behind. Man, together really matters. Right? Because that's how God designed us. He designed us to do life together, side by side. Right? Whether that's the church, whether that's in your marriage, whether that's with your kids, whether that's in your ministry, whether that's in your job. Like, together is always better. Right? I mean, who survived COVID? Right? Okay, all of us. What was one of the hardest things about that was we weren't together. I think of that. Anybody ever heard that song by King and Country, Together? Oh my gosh, so powerful, right? That we want to be together, right? And as a family, together matters. I love the fact that you guys do Fifth Sundays and the kids are in here. I love that. Because we've got to remember that every part of the body of Christ matters, right? Okay, so balcony people, you matter. Okay? Front row people, you matter, right? Kids, you matter. People who have been here since they were born, you matter. People who it's your first day, you matter. Every single one of you matters. Every single one of you has something to offer, right? But let's stay together as we go after that. Let's be people that are being like-minded, not getting caught up in the competition like Peter and John were, right? But really be Team Jesus functioning together. Now, like I said, John looks in, he waits for Peter, so let's jump into verse 6. So Simon Peter, therefore, came following John, and he enters in. He takes the next step. So it's kind of like Mary just sees it, okay? John takes the next step, comes, looks. Peter goes ahead and takes it to the next step. He's like, going in, let's do this. So he goes in. And then he says, we beheld the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head. And it was lying wrapped up perfectly. And then the other disciple, who had gone first, also came in. And he saw and he believed. Now, if you want to be really nerdy, if you kind of look at how this plays out in this passage, is there's actually three different words for see. So the first time Mary comes in and she sees the tomb stone rolled away. One word, okay? When John shows up and he sees, like, don't think anybody's in there, right? Same word. When Peter, it just means to, like, observe is what it means. They observe the facts. Peter comes, right? And when he looks in, it says he beholds. He beholds. He's like, oh, I didn't just observe it, but I beheld it. I moved it to a new level, and I just didn't see it, but I felt it. Like, I beheld it. And then the third time, when it says, then John follows him afterwards, and it says he saw and believed, it actually is the word of, like, perceiving. So he didn't just see it, he didn't just behold it, he perceived, and then he understood its implications, and he believed. Now, we're all in a different place on our journey, and some of us might just still be at the place of, like, I'm looking from a distance, I don't know if this is good or not, I don't know, we're kind of married, maybe we've taken a few more steps, maybe we've been hanging around Maywood for a while, and we're John, we're looking in, and we're seeing what's going on with this Jesus thing, we're starting to kind of behold it, because we're seeing it in other people, we're looking around and going, man, I see Jesus in the Whitworths, I don't quite know what that scoop is, but I see something, right, and I've seen it in other people's testimonies, I'm seeing it in what's happening, seeing it as I come, and I feel something different when I'm doing worship, when I come. And then some of us have moved on to know, like, we've perceived and we believe. And now we're just saying to the rest of you, like, come join us. Come join us. Because this Jesus that we serve, he got up. And that tomb was empty. Spoiler! And he does bring redemption to all, to anyone who's willing to have their eyes opened, to anyone who's willing to observe, behold, perceive, and then believe that Jesus is the one and only Son of God who came, died on the cross, paid the price for you, for the person sitting next to you, for me, even for the balcony people. Jesus came and he paid that price for our sins. Our sins this morning in the car, our sins yesterday, our sins the day before, our seven demons maybe that we had in our past. Jesus is enough for every single one of us. Who believes that?
Amen.
So my hope and my prayer is that for some of us, we need to be reminded of what we believe. But for some of us, we need to take that next step. Now, who's grown up in church forever? Okay, so just some of us, okay, yeah. Who's like, this is kind of a new thing for me? Couple, okay. So I'm gonna flip it. So if you've grown up in church forever, and you've observed, and then you've beheld, you've perceived, and you've believed, I want you to stand up. If you're like, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I want you to stand up. Because you know how we usually make the other people stand up? I'm gonna make you stand up if you're like, Jesus is it. I know in my heart 100%, Jesus is my Savior, I'm gonna stand up. And hey, if he's not, don't stand up, it's okay. I'm making them stand up. If you're like, because here's the thing, if you're still watching, if you're still wondering, here's some people to help you with that journey. And that's all right. Now, who be honest to say, you can all grab a seat again. Who be honest enough to say that there's some days, even though I'm right there, that man, I need some help believing. Me too. And that's what we have together, Team Jesus. Now, at the very end of this passage, it says that the disciples went away again to their own homes. They didn't do together so great. Now, you know, spoiler, they're going to do it better later on. But right here, they don't do it so great. So here's my last challenge to you for today. Who do you need to do together with today? Who do you need to invite over to lunch? Maybe you already got lunch, you can make it go a little further. I mean, Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves. Maybe he can multiply your mac and cheese, I don't know. Who do you need to invite over? Or maybe you go, you don't want to eat even my mac and cheese. Who do you need to invite to tacos? Right, who do you need to say, let's go do lunch, my kid's gonna scream for part of the time, but we're gonna be together, and you don't have to be embarrassed, I'll be embarrassed for us, or whatever it is, but let me just challenge you today, what can you do together? I love that on your guys' little notes in the front of your pews that it has that little thing about what's one thing you're gonna do. So So for some of us, we got to keep looking and perceiving. Maybe for some of us, we need to quit being reactors. But I think for all of us today, an easy first step is let's try to do some more together, right? Don't make it harder than it is. Don't make it harder than it is. So let me pray over us. Jesus, I thank you for all of these people in this room. God, I thank you that you brought them here today. God, and that you love them more than they can comprehend. God, I thank you that as much as you loved Mary Magdalene, that you love them. I thank you that you are a God who still delivers. So God, help us to perceive and to believe that truth. Help us to walk in that reality this week, God. Help us to not be reactors, God, but to Jesus pause and then respond. God, may we be aware that we serve a risen Savior. And all God's people said,
amen.